What's up, everyone? Little bit of a different setup here. Taylor can't be with us today, and honestly, good, because I don't need a moderator. Let's cut the bullshit. I'm Zoe. That's Kayla. We're having a discussion. I have the shirt on. She has the bucket. I'm already pissed off.
You're getting in so hot is a thing, and it's so true that Taylor would have been our mom and been like, stop fighting. But he's not here to protect you from me being so right. And that's okay.
Let's get.
Yeah, tell the people.
Let's get just one thing out of the way.
Mm-hmm.
Kayla and I and our friend Sam and our friend Natalie, we saw the Venom 3. The Last Dance. That might be the worst movie released this year.
I can agree with you there.
I saw Madame Web, and I enjoyed Madame Web a little bit more. That movie... An hour in, it's an action superhero movie, and an hour in, there was one fight scene.
Yeah,
I could not believe my eyes.
This debate, this yelling match that's about to happen, which I still feel very calm. You know, I'm holding my bucket, my comfort bucket. I can proudly say that it was not a good movie. That movie was bonkers. I don't know what babies were in the room with crayons deciding where the movie should go. There are so many bits and pieces that I'm like, this is so unnecessary. This doesn't have to be here. Can there be more Eddie and Venom on the screen? Like, truly, the first half of the movie has them like just kind of like sprinkled in. There's a lot of scientist mumbo jumbo, and I don't care. Even though it was funny to see so many people from Ted Lasso. Like, this is a Ted Lasso Venom crossover episode.
It was weird. And Otto Hightower played a hippie. The mom from Ted was the hippie wife. And then for some reason we're supposed to care about them. They tried to make them really emotionally
integral.
What else?
The one who they tried to make like so important, but it was so weird, was the main scientist, who's the girl from Ted Lasso.
Juno Temple.
We get her backstory about how she was struck by lightning, and because of that, her arm doesn't work, and she lost her brother, and he cared about NASA. I'm like, brother, and then, what?
And then, for anyone that plays Fortnite, you know they released the two like girl Venom skins. So she's supposed to be the purple one. And because she got struck by lightning, she has like a lightning scar on her arm. And because of that lightning scar, when she merges with the symbiote, it still has electricity in it. So she has super speed now. Also, that skin that's in Fortnite that everyone's like, Fortnite was like, oh, let's push this skin. It's in the movie for two seconds.
She does it.
She saves someone. That's it. Movie ends.
Yeah. There's also like, there's, yes, she gets to have that, all of this backstory just for 2 seconds of saving someone who I feel they have like a really interesting, like, are they in a relationship? Do they like each other? I don't know. I don't know how she feels about that woman, but that's what it was giving me.
Yeah.
But, the other symbiotes, them choosing their people, I would have liked to have a scene if we had to have the main scientist friend is the one who like first turns into like another Venom or whatever. Did she bond with that one? Was there anything between them? Do they have a relationship like Eddie and Venom? It was just like, okay, now, and fun fact I threw in, I always wear a Christmas tree on my scientist sweater, so my Venom is green and Christmassy. Like, that's just, like, dumb.
Correct.
It's just dumb.
The first one she bonds with is Venom to get him to Eddie, and then, yes, she gets the little the little Christmas tree one.
And yeah, a little green jingly one.
There's a bunch of Venoms or a bunch of symbiotes. And oh, again, for anyone who knows, the movie opens up with Null, the god of the symbiotes. And yeah. I'm like, that's cool as fuck. And then it's 3 minutes of his exposition. And it's like, yep. Oh, this is how this movie is going to go.
Yeah. Also, I feel like there were things from the second movie that did not lead to this third movie making sense. Like, I feel like there's like a disconnect, or maybe I just don't remember the second movie that much, but I was like,
well, where this movie starts off is,
yeah,
that little cameo joke that Tom Hardy has in Spider-Man, yeah, No Way Home.
Yes.
He gets sent to the MCU. And yeah, then the beginning of this movie is showing him in the MCU get back to his own,
yeah,
universe. And Venom goes, I hate this multiverse bullshit. Like, that's how the movie starts.
And so that's why Null came into the picture. Is it just because of the multiverses? Like,
Who knows? Cool.
Who knows?
They just wanted to bring in Null.
Okay. So for everyone who... The reason why we're yapping about this movie right now is because I'm a really big fan of Venom, and I'm also a big fan of Tom Hardy. So I always watch the movies, even if they're bad. But one of the biggest things that Andre and I fight about is the fact that I believe that Venom and Eddie are in a romantic relationship, that they are together. And Andre believes that they are not. And here's the thing. I know I'm always the one shipping two boys together for no reason. But I feel like this one makes probably the most sense. It makes more sense than the Sasu-Naru relationship that we spoke about in our last episode. It's one of those things where I had to pull up evidence. And we're going to fight about it in 2 minutes. But I just want you to know that the reason why we wanted this is because we both love Venom so much for very different reasons. But, you know, he's already in so much pain, dude. It's, you don't have to be that angry.
No, I'd rather you ship Sasuke and Naruto. This is not boy and boy. This is amorphous blob and dickhead.
And how many monster smut books exist in that realm? This is not new to anybody. This is amorphous blob. It's literally amorphous blob is just another way to say, if I work really hard, I can make him fall in love with me. It doesn't matter. One could say we are all amorphous blobs. So, no. Anyway, I have my bucket before we get into a fight. And I have a Venom bucket that I actually made Andre buy for me for my birthday.
Yeah, that shit was like $40.
And then I felt so bad that it was $40 that I ended up paying for half of it because yeah, I was like, no, that wasn't the plan. For those of you who are not watching these clips and you're just listening, when I tell you that this bucket is the most, besides the Dune popcorn bucket, which is literally... We know what it is. This is pretty close up there for being a super sexual bucket. Venom himself is like trying to bond with the bucket. The bucket looks like it's ribbed for her pleasure. And then the actual like handle where Venom's head is the veiniest, bumpiest thing I've ever seen. And I mean, that's why I wanted it, but it's insane. It's insane. So I'm going to pull out some of the questions that I had from here. And then in between, we can debate. And then we'll get to the real meat and potatoes, which is Eddie and Venom being in love. So I'm going to pull one out here real quick. And I'm going to read it. And Andre can answer it. We already kind of talked about this, but I think it's important. Can you talk about how stupid the scientists were in terms of putting them in the movie, as important as they were?
Jesus Christ. So I can never say this actor's name, but he was Baron Modo in Doctor Strange. He plays he plays a general, a military general in this movie. And for most of the movie, I'm like, wow, he's being kind of overly a dickhead.
Yeah.
Until there's one scene where they get sent on a mission and then he gets back pissed off because a lot of his men died.
Yeah.
And then he's like, what the fuck are you doing? Like, my men died. And then she's like, the scientist, Juno Temple, she's like, oh, but did you get any samples? Hey, lady.
Wild to say.
People died.
Got murdered. He had every right to be pissed. I will say he fell into that very general, like, I'm a part of the military, so yeah. My only emotion is anger, and I cannot give you anything else. And I feel like that's so typical of, like, it wasn't Marvel movies. It was when Marvel movies used to be made by, like, other studios, which by I Paramount. Mean, this one is. Yeah, by Paramount. I kept thinking of, like, all the generals from, like, the old Hulk movies. Mm. Or it's so, like, do they not know how to emote any other way? That is exhausting.
That plus Juno Temple's dead-eyed stare of a scientist.
Yeah.
Just all the time.
always just doe-eyed, just staring off somewhere and clutching her arm that can't move. There has to be more her than you not being able to use your arm.
Her arm can't move?
No, the entire movie, her arm is stuck at her side.
I never noticed.
Really? Yeah, her arm is immovable. She gets that back once she forms with the symbiote. That's like the whole thing. Like, she would, like, grab at her arm. Her arm was limp.
That's so stupid.
I agree with you.
Oh, my God. But not only her. Oh, and Christmas Tree, the other scientist, which we never know her name. Because
no, I don't think she's ever given a name.
The general just calls her Christmas Tree. Is so, like, she reminds me of you.
Okay.
The way in which she is so longing for the symbiotes. Every time she's looking at one, she's looking at one, she's like,
she,
it's the weirdest thing.
She always kind of, like, I think there's, like, one scene towards the beginning when you first meet her that he passes her like a symbiote, and she's like, hey, we have to be nice to our friends. And he's like, ugh. But I was like, that's real, actually, because I'd be like, oh, little alien buddy friend. I would also be trying to bond with one for sure.
What the hell? My cat's in here.
Oh, Mochi.
When did you get in here?
She wants to join in on the podcast. Oh! My heart. A baby.
Anyway.
So glad to have a third guest with us today. But yeah, I feel bad. Like, truly, all of these actors I know have a bigger range, mm-hmm. but the writing stifled them. Oh, mm-hmm. wait, I didn't put it in the bucket, but I do have to give an honorable mention to the funniest security guard that has ever been in any movie ever.
Oh my God.
I needed subtitles in the movie just for him. So guys, there is a security guard that says, not big lines, but lines that take up, you know, the whole screen. Like, he gets the full on camera pan to him. I truly to this day can't tell you what he said. All I know is that it was something of urgency and he was making the people have to move.
It was like, we have to get to cover. Like, you couldn't understand him. And they gave him, for an extra, they gave him so many lines.
Yes, they did. And the thing is, I kept looking over at my friend Nat and I'm like, hey. Because my friend Nat, our friend Nat, is a big movie buff. You can find her on Letterboxd. She's really into talking about movies and understanding the beautiful cinematic universe. I'm just there for a good time anytime. But I kept looking over her and being like, I'm so sorry. I'm so sorry that I brought you here. I don't even care if it was for my birthday. I apologize. You've had to sit through this. And she'd be like, this is funny.
I don't know why you were apologizing to her, because I was on the other side of her having a conniption every 2 minutes.
Yeah, but that's funny to me. And it's very telling because Andre is also a movie buff. Most of our friends are. He was writing his review before the movie ended.
It's because not only am I a movie buff, I grew up reading comics.
Yeah.
My two favorites, and they're very similar. Mm-hmm. And people will be like, they're not similar. But if you think about it, the reason why they're so popular is because they're very similar. My two favorites mm-hmm. are Batman and Spider-Man.
Yeah.
So I know the most about Batman and Spider-Man. So yeah. I'm sitting here watching this fucking Venom movie that that doesn't include Peter Parker, that doesn't include a logo on his fucking chest, that right. doesn't take place in New York, and I'm losing my goddamn mind.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, you guys know the gif of Dobby at the table where he's just kind of like seizing? That was literally Andre, and I could like see it happening. But I did ask him specifically to watch the movie to suffer. So I didn't have to apologize because that was me plan all along. And it was successful. So yeah, all that to say, the scientists were dumb. And by God, that guard.
Before you move on, I just remembered the movie ends with a montage.
Oh, yeah.
And the montage. This is when I started writing my review. Before the credits came on. This isn't the credits. I mind you, everyone, I need you to understand this is not the credits. Yeah. It's a montage of shit that happened in all three movies. And it's backed by, here's the ones that we got.
Yeah.
Here's the ones. Memories. Can we put that? And for anyone that is so brain rotted like I am, I was just thinking of the version where Peter Griffin and Stewie Griffin are singing that song.
The brain rot runs deep. I will say I thought the movie was over. Like it was just going to like have a hard cut. And when that montage came on, which most of the clips aren't from the first two movies. Most of the clips are from the third.
This movie, yes.
Things that happened not 5 minutes ago. 5 minutes. It was crazy. It felt unreal. Like I would love to have gone into the writer's room and go, hey, I know that you guys probably don't remember the DARE program with the lion that tells you to not do drugs, but maybe you need to watch it again because this could only have been brought on by hallucinogenics. There's no other way.
Oh God.
Insane. Okay. Well, I was going to bring that up at one point for like the part that you probably hated the most.
Oh.
But I have my second question. All right. The movie version of Eddie is pretty tame. Is he like that in the comics? Because I don't read the comics. Like you mentioned, this is something like that's really big for you. But I feel like Tom Hardy took a very interesting approach to who Eddie is, because my only other version of Eddie is from like the cartoon series where he would show up, or from the first set of like Spider-Man movies.
So Eddie is a journalist, just like in these movies. In this, because I guess he's played by Tom Hardy, they tried to make him a little more like big man, like he rides a motorcycle and I'm a journalist for the people and I do good. Usually he's just kind of, funny enough, he is Peter Parker's Sasuke, kind of. They don't meet in high school. They meet as an adult. They're both journalists for the Bugle.
The Daily Bugle.
And they just kind of have this like back and forth, like, hey, Parker, I got better pictures than you. And then Peter's like, I'm Spider-Man, I get the best pictures. And then he gets toned up or toned down depending on who's writing him. Like,
okay,
in Spider-Man 3, there's that scene where he's in the church and he's begging God to kill Peter Parker.
Yeah.
Like, I don't think that's ever happened in a comic that I remember.
Right. Yeah, we don't have gone that far.
But their dynamic is a very good basis for why Spider-Man and Venom fight.
Yeah.
Because once Venom leaves Peter's body and then bonds himself with Eddie, it kind of accelerates his thought process and kind of makes him a little stupid. And he's like, now I have to do this thing.
Right.
But no, I like, at least in the first movie, I genuinely like Tom Hardy's take on Eddie Brock. He's very funny. He's just kind of a dude.
I feel like in the first movie, he had the most personality.
Yes.
This third movie, I feel like he's just like a husk of who like the first Eddie was, mm-hmm. where it's just like, I'm tired of this grandpa. Mm-hmm. I can't do it anymore. So I'm not being funny. I don't have quips. I'm not being sassy. I'm not kind of having that same relationship with Venom as I did before, or even with other people. Like, he just seems exhausted. And that kind of made me sad, because I'm like, I'm expecting more of the sass to come out.
I think Tom Hardy is ready to do other movies.
And you know what?
I think he had fun in the first one, because he's like, ooh, Venom, that's cool.
Yeah.
And then he's like, these keep making so much money. I have to do these.
Right. Yeah. But at the same time, this movie won't. So he can finally set himself free of the shackles that he has been burdened with, for sure. But he was a great Eddie. He's a beautiful man. Okay. What scene from this movie, The Last Dance, is burned into your brain for good or bad reasons?
Every time I think about this movie, I think about the dumbass decision to dance with Mrs. Chen. It's like kind of cute. Oh
my God. Yes. What was that?
It's like kind of cute because it's like, oh, Venom, he loves Mrs. Chen. But the whole movie, you're like, we can't fully form, because once we fully form, the xenophages, which, what the fuck? The xenophages can sense my codex. But then he meets Mrs. Chen and he's like, I want to dance. And then he turns into Venom. It's like, dude, what the fuck are you doing?
Yeah, I feel like that was just fan service, because up until that point, there wasn't a lot of Venom in the movie. Like, fully with his face and his body. We had him for like 2 seconds. Because a lot of the time during this movie, he's been that like just kind of like worm looking thing outside of Eddie. And I mean, what the girlies are here for is looking at Venom, full, big titty, big head, long teeth, long tongue. That's what we're here for. And we didn't get that until the Miss Chen dance scene. And exactly what you said. Like, I was like, aren't we trying to avoid being seen by this basically a wood chipper of an alien? Because if you guys watch the movie, the way that this alien like eats people or whatever, it absorbs them and then spits out blood and guts out of its back, which is terrifying.
Kind of cool.
But it's kind of cool. Also, for all my monster lovers out there, for me, on the scale, I couldn't love him. But I can't love them all.
Okay. So our friend Natalie, we're bringing up a lot today.
Yeah, we're going to make her watch this episode for sure.
I tried to warn her. I had seen the Wild Robot with her, and I told her Pedro Pascal as the fox is going to drive Kayla crazy. And she was like, but it's a fox. And I'm like, you don't know Kayla.
Correct.
And then once we got to see Venom, there were times where you did something and she would look at me like, and I'm like, I tried to warn you. So before you pull out another.
For sure. I can just hold on to my bucket.
Explain what it is about Venom. Explain.
Oh, like why I'm attracted to him?
Correct.
I feel like it's not that hard to understand that a giant, probably 8-foot, built to the nines man with a long tongue and silly, goofy attitude would be attractive to me. I've always loved Venom, like even before I knew that I was a monster lover girl, because I think that he's pretty tame because he is human-esque in a way. But it kind of leads into the fight that we're going to have later about Eddie and Venom being in a relationship, because symbiotic relationships where the creature understands you on a level that no one else can, because it has physically down to your core bonded with you. Like, it knows your ins and outs and thoughts because you can share some of those things. That's hot. That is hot. But just physically, he's hot.
It doesn't matter. His hands are big. It doesn't matter that his face looks like that.
No, I think that it's like, I think it also is for people who like enjoy masks. Like, it's not so much that we.
It's not a mask, though.
It's, I know, but I'm saying in the sense of like how people find
Ghostface,
Scream, yeah, like Ghostface attractive. And they literally are like, every girl will tell you, or every person will tell you, keep the mask on. Like, everything else comes off, keep the mask on. With Venom, I'm not afraid of his face. It's just kind of like one of those things where I'm like, I can look past that. Open your mouth. And that's enough. So, yeah, he's just hot. Like, it's very, like, the same way that I would like the Thing if it wasn't for the fact that, like, his body is, like, too hard.
Oh.
Not the Thing. No. Gotcha. Not the Thing from the 80s movie.
The I'm talking Thing about, from like, the Fantastic Four.
The Thing
Four.
From the Fantastic Four. Yeah. No, that Thing would be in my nightmares. I would never touch it.
Also, I just looked it up. This is not what I expected. Canonically, Venom is 6'3".
I thought he was much bigger. But...
I also thought he was like 7 feet tall.
Yeah. Okay, now you know you can cosplay Venom.
With a logo. Like a good
yes,
Venom.
Yes, with a logo. With a logo. Like, I also like miss
light blue Venom.
I miss the logo too. Like, I don't know why they removed it. I don't know if it was because of some sort of like copyright or whatever the
yes,
case may be.
It is.
But I do miss the logo on his chest. It just makes his chest look better.
Yeah, so hopefully Nat watches this and tries to understand.
Yeah, but the thing is that, like, it's the same reason why, like, in our Disney Daddies episode, which will come out eventually, I have very weird criteria for what I find attractive and not attractive. Like, it's just, like, some monsters are gonna get me, and some are not. And typically it has to do with voice, with size, and with personality.
Yeah, Venom.
And that's it.
Venom usually is or gets goofy.
Yeah.
That's kind of his whole thing. There's a very very famous clip of the PS1 video game where they're teaming up, because sometimes he's a villain, sometimes he's an anti-hero.
Yeah.
Him and Spider-Man are teaming up, and they're breaking into the, I forgot where they're breaking into, but they're using the computer.
Oh, yes.
Surf the web. Shut up, Brock.
I feel like throughout all of these Venom movies, I'm missing the Venom and Spider-Man dynamic, because correct. I love them riffing off each other, because they're both like Spider-Man, depending on who is playing him, becomes more or less sassy. Mm-hmm. Or punny, and that's my favorite version of like Peter Parker. Mm-hmm. Like, I just need him to, even though I will always love the first Peter Parker, I will always love, is it Tobey Maguire?
Tobey Maguire, yeah.
I will always love him, because that was one of my like awakenings of like, why do I like this? But it's Andrew Garfield's version of Spider-Man is probably like tippy top for me, even though I love also baby Spider-Man, the one who's dating Zendaya. Andrew Garfield's version is just perfect.
He's the quippiest.
Yeah, he's so quippy. He's so funny. He's so witty. And he's still like that nerdy, shy, but can become like suave.
Here's the thing.
Spider-Man.
Here's the thing. Now we're going on. Now.
Okay, I'm sorry. I've opened up the bucket.
Now started. Everyone always has this thing where it's like, oh, Tobey Maguire was a good Peter, but not that good of a Spider-Man because he looks whatever because he's a good nerd. And Andrew Garfield is a good Spider-Man, but not really that good Peter because he's too hot. Hey, read the old comics. Peter Parker was always a stud. Always.
Yeah, Peter Parker was always good looking.
And people don't get that. People don't understand. No. The reason he has Mary Jane is because he's a stud. It's not because of anything else.
Right. I mean, the thing is that, like, it's also that he's not, like, he's not the hottest around. He's just a good-looking guy.
Yeah. And people are always like, oh, he looks too hot. Peter Parker is hot.
Correct.
Fuck.
Period. Yeah. It's very true. I will stand by that forever. I know that we're getting into like Spider-Man territory.
I know. I can do this all day.
We should have a Spider-Man episode for sure because Spider-Man, yes! I would say, is like one of my first loves in general.
I love him.
Okay. This one you kind of touched on, but I'm going to bring it back. What did you feel when you saw the other symbiotes? Specifically, I would say, outside of this question, when you had mentioned the lightning one, you had said something that there actually is a purple symbiote mm-hmm. who is her own actual realized character in the comics, and that's why you're upset?
If I remember correctly, the purple symbiote is named mm-hmm. Agony.
Ooh, love that.
If I remember correctly.
Mm-hmm.
They did not use Agony.
No.
They just did purple. Here's purple.
Because purple's fun. Yeah.
And then they also had a red and yellow symbiote.
Yeah. Yeah.
For those of you who know, red and yellow is Scream. She's not so popular, but she's popular enough to be in the fucking Spider-Man ride in Universal.
Oh, wow.
So, like, she's known. That's not Scream. That's not Scream. It just wasn't Scream. It wasn't. They didn't give her the long hair. She wasn't screaming. I don't even think the red and yellow symbiote bonded with a woman. I think it bonded with one of the men.
Yeah, I think it bonded with one of the guys.
Ah!
I keep thinking of the SpongeBob meme, the do what I do when I get frustrated. Scream!
It's just so easy. You could pull so many things from the comics. And she's from Earth 616. That's the main Earth. It's not even that you have to dig deep. She's from canon.
She's from that Earth.
Fuck.
They could use her. I do love, though, how like the purple one is the only girl symbiote who ends up getting like a ponytail. Because I'm like, she's the main one. So she gets girly hair. And I was just like, whatever. Frustrating to me, even though like those fight scenes were cool, they were fun because I was waiting the whole movie for more fight. But what we got was Venom bonding with a horse and becoming something of my nightmares. I hated that scene. I'm terrified of horses. So seeing Venom bond with a horse and a frog and a fish, like, it was just like, stop. I don't like it. This is one of my favorite. It's not really a question per se. It's just a statement. It just says, stop yelling at me. We're friends. Because I think we're going to be yelling at each other at some point. You're not yelling at me yet, but just so you know.
I just looked up Agony's powers.
Yeah.
She doesn't have super speed. They just gave that to her.
For fun.
Because she has lightning in her arm.
Yeah, you're just getting angrier. You're making yourself angrier, truly. And that's okay.
Also Earth 616. Also Earth 616. They didn't have to dig deep.
Yeah. Yeah. But they were pulling things out of nowhere. Also, like, I will say one of the symbiotes that was really cool that happened to be with a guy that was from a previous movie. The one that was locked in the room that they bonded a symbiote with.
The light blue one.
The light blue one. I really liked that symbiote, and I don't think he had enough time. But that's just me. I just like the light blue one. He looked ghosty.
I just looked him up. He is only from the movies.
Okay, so he's not in a comic or anything. Oh,
interesting.
Oh, let me just...
He was kind of cool. Like, he had no legs. It was interesting, yeah.
Yeah, he was ghostly. Mm. Okay, so as a movie buff, what advice would you give to Sony? Burn it all to the ground.
Listen. I am a ride or die Sony when it comes to video games. Okay. I've had every single PlayStation. I do not like Xbox. Not like a console war kind of guy. I think the console wars are kind of stupid. But I have a love for Sony.
Yeah.
Hey, Sony, stop being so goddamn petty. Because here's the thing. They don't want to relinquish the rights to Spider-Man. And I get it.
Yeah.
And I get it. Because of that, we have a PS5 exclusive Spider-Man series. They're bringing it to PC. But that's a whole other fucking conversation for a different topic.
Yeah.
And part of that contract is that, hey, we could still make some movies, right? And Marvel's like, not with Spider-Man. That's our guy. So there's a loophole in this contract where it's like, okay, we can make movies out of villains they haven't used yet. So let's start taking them. We're making Venom. We're making Morbius. We're making Madame Web, not a villain. And now we're making Kraven the Hunter. Now, Marvel, what are you going to use? And Marvel's going to have to pull out of their ass Big Wheel. Like.
But, because the first ones weren't made by Marvel anyway, so they always had Venom. Because I was like, wait, how do they have Venom? But no, that wasn't made by, it wasn't made by Marvel before.
So they're just trying, it's not even like, hey, let's make, like, cool movies. It's like, no, the first Venom was all right, let's milk the fuck out of this, and now let's start taking shit.
Right.
Because Morbius, I didn't even see it, but I know how it ends. The movie ends right after the big fight. The big fight happens, movie ends. Boom. There's no, like, come down.
Wow.
Madame Web, god awful. Holy shit. Peruvian spider people?
I think that's one of the first conversations we had on this podcast. Because I remember looking up the fact that the Peruvian spider people had outfits that looked like Spider-Man's outfit. Yeah. And how that wouldn't make sense. And how I get they were trying to tie that, like, Spider-Man everywhere, Spider-Man in our hearts, in our minds, in our costume. But that's not the way that you do it. And it would have been really cool to see different designs. Because, and, you know.
And here's the thing.
Right.
I am a movie buff.
Yeah.
But I am also not that hard to please. I've seen the trailers for Kraven the Hunter.
Mm-hmm.
You got Aaron Taylor Johnson, who just looks cool and everything.
Right.
He's Kraven the Hunter, and he looks like Kraven the Hunter. And the movie's
fights.
The movie's rated R, so there's blood. I'm there. I'm going to be disappointed. I know I am.
But you still have a good time.
But I'm going to be there because Kraven the Hunter is so fucking cool. And you don't get it. You don't get it. You've never read Kraven's Last Hunt. I didn't even know
who he was before this movie.
You don't fucking get it. He's killed Spider-Man before, dude. He's so fucking cool.
Dude, bro. He freaking did. Yeah.
So yeah,
I don't know who you became.
So yeah, Sony, stop eating shit.
Yeah. Well, Sony, now you know. And if you ever want to have a collab with us, we're happy to help you be better. Can you imagine a collab with Sony?
I don't think. After what I just said, I don't think.
Sometimes criticism helps people become better. Who knows? Mm. Who knows? Okay. Are there any versions of Eddie and Venom that work like they do in the movies, in the comics? Or do you think that it's like adjacent, but not really?
So genuinely, I think they took a lot of liberties. It is like a split personality kind of.
Yeah.
It's always been like, here's Eddie and here's Venom. And sometimes, well, no, because the symbiote doesn't really have a name. That's another thing they did in this movie. The symbiote's name was Venom. In the comics, the symbiote doesn't have a name. He just goes by his host's name or the villain name. So
yeah.
Peter will call Venom Eddie or Brock.
Right.
In this one, they really did separate them more. They made Venom a character that talks to Eddie more than he does in the comics. For the most part, their relationship is similar in the sense that the symbiote needs a host to survive.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
They didn't really do this in this movie. And I could be wrong. Maybe this is just from a specific comic or someone made this up. It's been a while since I've read the comics. The symbiote will die if not attached to a host and not allowed to feed.
Okay.
Like, it doesn't eat people because, wow, that's cool. It eats people to stay alive.
Yeah, it needs it. Yeah.
Yeah.
And does it have to be people or it's just blood? Like, it could be like animals.
It could be animals. I think it just likes people.
Okay. It's kind of like the vampire rule where it's like, I will drink animal blood if I have to, but the blood of humans is better.
It's
very attractive.
It usually stays with Eddie because Eddie likes it. Eddie just likes having that power.
Mm.
For a little bit, because then after a while, Eddie's kind of like, oh, this sucks. Why am I still here? And then like, we can get into the main argument now because I'm about to bring up the fact that
I only had one left anyway.
The symbiote makes Eddie depressed. In most comics.
What is my last one?
In like 99% of the comics.
Right. Oh, this was my last one, and I think it leads into it. Can you admit that specifically the Venom movies are queer-coded?
Yes. Yeah.
Okay.
No.
Yeah.
Okay. That's 100% true, but I don't want to burst your bubble a little bit.
Right.
But as a movie buff,
mm-hmm.
again, this is one of those things you got to think meta. I genuinely think it was the mm-hmm. writers not being like, let's make a gay superhero. It's the writers right. being like, ha ha, two men gay.
Right. Okay. I get you. But don't worry. I have comic evidence, but let's freaking start. Let's go. We've dragged people on long enough. I really just wanted to ask you some questions because I feel like they're important to know for the listeners to know like where you come from and not so much me because I'm just in it for the bit, you know, mm-hmm. You actually care. And I do too, but for different reasons, you know? So I don't know if you want to start. I feel like you should.
So my first question is, when the symbiote, or not my first question, my first point, when the symbiote comes to Earth,
mm-hmm.
he pairs up with Peter.
Mm-hmm.
The only reason he goes to Eddie is because Peter rips him off. It's not. Yeah. It's not because. Ooh, yes, hi, Eddie. No, he did that to stay alive.
Yeah, and to that I would say that Peter was his first choice, and that relationship did not work out. They didn't have the same bond. It is. I'm not saying it's a romantic relationship. I'm saying it's a relationship between parasite and host. That relationship did not work out. He ends up becoming attached to Eddie mm-hmm. against his will. That's fine.
Mm-hmm.
But he realizes that the bond with Eddie is stronger than what he had with Spider-Man.
Because Eddie wants revenge and Eddie wants to take Peter Parker out and also mm-hmm. doesn't like Spider-Man because if I remember correct, well, this happens in the movie. Spider-Man breaks his camera.
Mm-hmm.
So he's like, fuck Spider-Man and fuck Peter Parker. He doesn't know that they're the same person at this moment.
Right.
It's not because, ooh, I like this feeling. Oh, this man makes me feel so good. It's poisoning his brain. It's poisoning his brain. It happens to Peter. It happens to Peter.
Right. Okay. But what bonds you more to a person than hating the same other person? Literally, friendships and relationships are born of that all the time.
I am going to rip your arms off.
And that's totally fine. You can try. You can definitely try. Because the thing is that, like, literally, it is always a joke that, like, when you work in an office, for example, the way you begin to bond with coworkers is hating a specific other coworker together. Those types of bonds legitimately form new relationships with people. And then eventually you don't need to hate the other person anymore. You're just with that person because you like them. Type away. Angrily type. Me, me, moop. Kayla hurt my feelings because she's so right. Anyway. He actually is going to rip my arms off, but I am safe.
So canonically.
Sure.
Canonically.
Yeah.
The symbiotes are asexual.
Okay.
Explain that.
Until the comics between 2016 and 2018, where they started exploring romantic relationships. And it's just because of a certain group of writers, but they are canonical Venom and Eddie comics. And mm-hmm. I will say, so during that time between 2016 and 2018, specifically, in the comics, Venom describes their bond as being like a marriage. He tells Eddie he loves him, and Eddie calls him darling and my love. They also have a child together.
Who is this child?
I don't know who the child is, and I don't care. Calling someone darling and my love while being physically attached to them? That's
who's a writer?
A
who's a writer? Who's a writer?
I don't have it here.
What's the name
but
of the...
But type away.
What's the name of
All the... I know is it's from 2016 to 2019. I'm sorry, 2018.
Yeah, Venom has... Scream is one of Venom's kids.
Also, hold on.
Mm-hmm.
They have been having that, like, on occasion, like, my love or my other since 1990 freakum 6.
Venom calls him my love, right?
Yeah,
because, again, you gotta think meta about this, dude. It's because ha ha, this guy's a goofy little alien guy.
Yeah. But no. I think that that's something to be said. Okay, yes. Okay, so I also have, let me read this. So ever since the start, Eddie has been calling the symbiote as my other. In his early days,
yes. There
are a few lines that maybe seem romantic in context, but not much beyond that, because I know that there's someone else that Eddie and Venom both love. There's like a woman, I forgot her name. Hold up, mm-hmm. I have her name.
I mean, it's in the movie too, but.
Yeah, it's in the movie too. It's Anne Weying, which is like the she Venom.
Mm-hmm.
Anywho, there I believe is, yes. Okay, so it's a comic called The Hunger, and it's a mini series, but a canonical one where Eddie and Brock are actually kind of like dating. There's like little panels of them kind of like saying weird things to each other. Not weird, but romantic things to each other. Eddie says to Venom, or to somebody, the symbiote makes me feel things that no woman could. Absolutely. And then there's a panel of them like watching a movie together, and the symbiote is holding his hand with a mini series ending in the fact that Eddie gives the symbiote a heart-shaped chocolate. Why would you give heart-shaped chocolate to someone who's just feeding
here's
off you thing. And driving you crazy?
Here's the thing. Here's
why
the thing.
Would
here's
you do
thing.
That? Why would you do that? Why would you
here's,
do that? Why would you do that? Why would you do that?
Here's the thing.
Sure.
It's not anything like, oh, he rocks my world. It's the fact that he has a tapeworm from outer space, and mm-hmm. now he feels like shit, and every time mm-hmm. that tapeworm eats, it's mm-hmm. like... He's giving him the sensation like, this is what no woman can make me feel like this. It's because mm-hmm. he's killing you, brother. And he doesn't know because it's poisoning his brain. Because it's poisoning his brain. Because it is a toxic. It's it's yes, symbiotic, but he's kind of a parasite.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
So let me talk about that. So there is a I'm telling you, I had to like take screenshots of all of this. There is a comic from 2019. In an issue of Marvel Comics Presents, following a brief story about Eddie's need to stay awake after the parasite begins to hunger for brains, yet again, the pair bicker over whether the symbiote can be trusted to let its host sleep. The mood begins to shift after Venom delves into Eddie's dreams, saying it can feel every dirty curve of Eddie's intentions, and then it offers to show him the beautiful horrors, terror and desire intertwined, and asks Eddie if he wants to make his heartbeat go faster. Like, I'm blushing.
Again.
And then the panel, hold on. This is very important. The panel fades away to Eddie telling Venom, watch the teeth. They were together. You don't see it, but clearly, plain as day, they were having relationships.
Because the symbiote is trying to manipulate Eddie into trusting him.
Listen, I'm not saying that it's a good relationship. I agree with you. It's a toxic relationship. But you have to say with your full chest that it's a relationship. Don't glare at me that way.
Because Venom's not getting anything out of it except food. It's not. He does not want to do it.
Maybe he has a feeder kink. It doesn't matter.
He doesn't have a kink at all. He's asexual.
He's not.
No, because
I'll let you talk. I'm gonna shut up. I'll give you a moment.
He knows how Eddie feels, so he's manipulating him. He doesn't care to do that. He's just telling Eddie, like, "Hey, brother." And Eddie's like, "Hey, brother, that's what it is."
Okay. I know that you won't say that the movies are not, you know, canonical, whatever. Even though they're movies, so we have to use them to a certain extent. Let's talk about how when they were all in the van and everything's quieting down and the little boy gives Eddie some chocolate and all of a sudden Eddie starts having a little conversation with Venom in his head and Venom literally says, "I wish I could have given you a life like this." He wanted a calm
He says, "I think we would have been happier if you had a life like this." That's what he said.
That's the same thing to me, actually.
Yours is way more loaded. Yours points to Venom providing for Eddie.
Yeah.
The way he actually says it is like almost like, "I'm sorry I fucked your life up.
But I wish that I could have this life with you."
Ow!
Remember the stop yelling at me card, wherever it is. I think truly that Venom would have wanted a peaceful life, randomly eating people on occasion, having a little fun time.
With Eddie's girlfriend from the first movie.
I don't even think that it's all about her. I think that he's truly, even if he's not a very good boyfriend, he's still there for him. They're there for each other. And that bedroom gotta be going crazy. Anyway.
Can we talk about in the movies how Venom's killing Eddie? Can we talk about that?
Again, it's showcasing a toxic relationship. Sure, yeah, you could show that.
He's eating his organs. His heart is not supposed to be beating.
Right.
You want to explain that?
You know, sometimes when you're in love with someone and they're not good for you, it's kind of like they're eating your heart. So,
when doing research, did you come across the Darkhold Spider-Man?
No, I don't know who that is.
Mm-hmm. So there is.
But I will have. You go.
There is a story, and this story is supposed to be scary.
Sure.
This is Earth 73640.
Mm-hmm.
It's a different universe.
Mm-hmm.
In this universe, something called the unraveling happens.
Mm-hmm.
Buildings start to crumble as they mm-hmm. lose their foundation, and so do people.
Ooh.
Okay. Spider-Man, Peter Parker, goes insane. Every day, for like hours of the day, he's going around New York City. He's holding everything up by his webs.
It's breaking my heart.
That includes people.
Mm-hmm.
He's not letting people die.
Mm-hmm.
They are in pain.
Yeah.
Okay. Venom is not affected. Eddie is affected.
Mm-hmm.
Venom eats Eddie.
Yeah.
Peter Parker pulls apart the symbiote skeleton.
Mm-hmm.
Eddie Brock does not exist.
Yeah.
Explain.
Probably a mercy killing at that point. If he knew his love was gonna not live, he was just gonna kill him and have him be with him forever. We could say, like in Beastars, the bear that ate his best friend, who was a goat or ram, I can't remember now. He was so in love with him that he wanted them to be together forever.
I haven't so seen he ate Beastars.
Him. Well, he eats him. And it's I'm not saying it is a stable love, but I am saying that it's very much that type of like obsessive, like I want us to be more than one person. I want you to be in me. I know you're upset because I am taking everything you say and just equating it to a toxic relationship. I can hear like the firearms going off in your head. But that's why I think that like, I don't think that Eddie and Venom are necessarily a healthy relationship, but I don't think that we can deny the existence that they are in a relationship. Venom's just very abusive and doesn't care about Eddie's well-being, but because they are bonded, Eddie can't remove those feelings. And so our episode has gotten a little sad, I would say.
Oh my God. If you just Google, is Eddie Brock gay? It says in the movies, Eddie is portrayed as a queer character in some of his media. And then it says in the Last Dance,
mm-hmm.
this is backed up because they dance to Dancing Queen by ABBA.
I also looked up, does Venom love Eddie romantically on Google? And I got, yes, Venom and Eddie explicitly love each other and behave like a married couple, mostly sharing a body. And yes, the Venom symbiote behaves as an explicit metaphor here for closeted sexuality, even if he appears as himself in the San Francisco parade to proclaim he's coming out as an alien.
In the movies.
Yeah, in the Carnage movie. The Let There Be Carnage one.
Yeah.
But that, like, their review is explicitly they are in love.
Yeah. But again, it's specifically the second movie, they are written as a gay couple. For sure.
Yeah, for sure, for sure. There's also, like, I took little, like, screenshots of, like, cutie woody things. Like, there's Eddie Brock saying, like, so true. The symbiote is here. My symbiote. Very possessive. And then Venom says back, my darling. And then there's one where Venom is getting shot. And he's like, but Eddie, the anti-venom hurts us. And hit anti-venom bullets. And then Eddie goes, I know. My love, but we need to stop Price. I don't know who Price is, but again, saying my love. And there's another one where here, you know, Venom's like going through some buildings and it says, last time we got good news, you ate with me noodles, steak. And then I think it's Venom saying this, or I think it's probably Eddie, and going, we always eat together, dear. I don't know anybody who calls someone my dear.
Dear is probably Venom. because he
and that's
he in the comics at least they he speaks very proper. It's kind of funny.
I think that they're just a couple, and you know, we may never have that, like, that may never be like mainstream Venom and Eddie in the comics, but we know that there are comics that have come out where they are very much acting like a couple.
Yes. And I will say yes to that.
Ah, okay. Oh, that's all I wanted. That's all I wanted. I had a, I was like, I wish I could make like a cake for when I won. But I didn't make one, but I have a photo of it. And it says, you can't see it, but it says, sorry for having great tits and correct opinions.
I'm not accepting it.
I mean, you don't have to accept the cake. It's okay. I'll eat the cake. It's totally fine. Because I think we both expected a lot more yelling in this episode, but I think it has been met with peace and empathy and me being, I would say, 70-30 right, I feel. Don't you feel?
No,
I feel that.
No. No.
Yeah. Yeah.
No.
Yeah.
No.
It's okay. No. You don't have to admit that I'm right, no. But I feel like, and you know what? It'll also probably be like a bunch of listeners will also, okay, baby, shut up. Literally the oldest and youngest of the friend group, like duking it out. You know, I just think that I can see your side where they're just bad for each other. And that's why, obviously, they couldn't be a couple. But people are bad for each other all the time. And they're couples. So I'm having a little sip of my chalky milk. And I'm going to say that this debate has been won. And thank you all.
The debate's been ended. And here's, you know what? We've recorded an hour of this. So mm-hmm. We're going to send it to Taylor. It's going to get edited mm-hmm. and it's going to be put out there. But now I regret it. Now I regret it because, one, we're going to get more people on your side for the bit. Two, right. there's going to be some people being like, is he homophobic?
No, I don't think that. I don't think that because it's not that you're homophobic. You're just saying that like those characters couldn't be that way. I actually think that people are going to get pissed at me for committing so much to this. And that's okay. You know, like, I'm not going to be everyone's favorite opinion about this. And clearly, like, there are true comic book watchers like you who are like, I have the evidence to say that they're not. But I thought you were going to come in with bigger guns, you know, because you were I have stuff to ruin your argument.
He eats him. I thought that was the nuke.
No, I don't think that that's a nuke at all. I think that that's just one of those things where you literally said before he said that he ate him that Spider-Man was keeping people alive against their will. They were in pain and they were hurting. We don't know the way in which he ate Eddie.
To me, it's like, finally, I can do this.
No, I feel like it's like you're in pain. Let go. And then he just gets to be one with him forever. Again, using the Beastars reference.
I'm going to let go on Knuckle Sandwich to your to your temples.
Oh, I haven't had lunch. You can pass it over.
Oh, God. I'm pissed.
I didn't want you to leave this conversation pissed. I thought I was going to leave angrier. But I'm almost too at peace with the way this conversation went today.
Jesus. I'm not good at debating, and I thought I had this in the bag.
Nice. I think it was the luck of the popcorn bucket.
Oh, God. Yeah, so that movie sucked, and this conversation sucked, and now I'm going to fight Kayla.
Yeah, the movie sucked, but it was funny enough. If you watch it with friends who are going to laugh with you, it's worth the watch. Probably not to pay in theaters. Like, wait till that comes out on a streaming service for free. This debate was awesome because I won, as I always knew in my heart that I would, because love always prevails. And Andre, do you have any music to talk about with our listeners? And I know that you do.
Oh my God. Yeah. Chromacopia came out on Monday. That is a work. It is a work of art. It is my personal album of the year. It is so from front to back. Tyler's most honest album. And it's the one that he's wearing a mask for. Think about that real quick. Whoa. The idea behind it is cool. It's based off a book. I think it's called the something of Saint Chroma, where he's a military general, but they play music around the world because the world is full of is black and white. So they fill the world with color. Like that's kind of the aesthetic of this album. That's why most of it's in black and white or like this weird, like grayscale. It's just so good. It's just so good. And the features on it, oh my God. Because you released it without the features list, and then you listen to Sticky, and it's got Glorilla and Sexy Red and Lil Wayne, and you're like, oh my fucking God. It's such a good album. It's so good. It's I would want it to win Album of the Year. I think that's going to go to Charlie XCX, which is not, that's not a disappointment. Brat is also very good, but this is my personal Album of the Year.
Nice. I don't have an album. I have one song on repeat as of late, and it's the Dun 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 theme song, the full one. I have been listening to it while I work. Those children help me move forward and help me go through life. So it's been real good just to hear it. And I'm hoping that I can listen to it enough where I could actually rap in Japanese. I think that'd be really cool. But yeah, that's been the main song on repeat.
For you... And for everyone else, I don't know if you heard it. I think I texted it to you. The new Weekend song.
Yes, you and our friend Emily also sent me the same song. You sent me the screenshot, and she actually sent me the Spotify link. It is in my most recent likes. It is very fun, as most of you may
Brazilian
know.
Brazilian funk.
Yeah, most of you may know if you listen to this podcast. I love Brazilian funk music, and I don't know what inspired The Weekend to go that direction, but I mean. Bring more into it, like more mainstream, because if I can start having Brazilian funk music in clubs, I'm not even a club goer, because as someone who is 5'2" and not very coordinated, being in a club only means that I'm almost on the brink of falling over every time, and I literally am the dip in the crowd most of the times. But if Brazilian funk starts playing in the club, I'm hands on the ground, sticky floor, I don't care. I will bring wet wipes in a fanny pack. I need to feel the bass in my soul coming out every pore in my body. Ah, it's so good. Ah, it's so good. And if you guys haven't listened to Brazilian funk music yet, I highly suggest it. The best ones always have anime characters on the cover. Like, it's always Deku for some reason, but they go so hard. Any other announcements?
No, kind of just a shorter episode today. We usually go an hour and a half, but I think an hour is fine. I don't have anything else to talk about this week.
Yeah, it's hard to continue talking when you didn't win. Okay. So thanks everybody for listening. We had so much fun during this debate. We'll have other episodes in the future where we'll have Taylor, you know, have a debate with us, or you know, some of these one-on-ones happen. So thanks so much for listening. This is Kay from Kay Licks Peppers saying bye. Andre, say bye.
Bye.
Yeah. Okay. Bye.
He better cut it correctly.